Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman. And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Ouch, that hurt.
Can you put the right one up there real quick?
Holy
Hold on,
cow.
We can't start the show like that. This is too important of a show to not get it right. Here you go.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to Jaguars
you hurt
This
me
Week.
There.
Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Baselli.
Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Baselli.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Baselli.
Jaguars This Week is
much
brought
better.
To you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's
Don't
Barbecue,
ever change that.
Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville
Teal Deals
merchants.
Yeah.
And by Everbank.
Double up.
Jaguars This Week.
Someone send him an extra invoice.
Right now.
Welcome to Jaguars This Week from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. A very busy show presented by Aetna. Over the next 2 hours, you choose the topic, folks. It can go in so many different directions. Tony Baselli is here. Jeff Lagerman is here. John Osher, as always, waiting until the last waning tones of the open before he makes him...
Ozone.
Yeah, but here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the Ozone himself, Cha and Ching, on that one.
I was talking to the head ball coach.
We've all done that. Yeah, we've all done that in the last couple of hours around here. And that would be Mel Tucker. And this one piece of news, they did some more house cleaning today. They reorganized a little bit. The wide receivers coach, Johnny Cox, is gone. They've moved Mike Shepard, the quarterback's coach, to the wide receiving position. And now Dirk Cutter is going to work with Blaine Gabbert. Plus, they have cut Jason Hill, put Courtney Green on injured reserve, and signed Morgan Trent, a cornerback who was with the Colts for a week and the Bengals before that.
Yeah, Bengals for 3 years prior to that.
And then they have brought up DeJuan Harris from the practice squad, the short...
Had a pretty good preseason here with the Jaguars.
Yeah. And belonged to the practice squad, yeah. So, with that...
And by the way, sold the team.
Okay, sold the team, changed the coach. Yeah.
Besides that, extended,
I just figured it, yeah.
extended the GM. And other than that, it's been a very normal week.
Exactly, right.
Never seen anything like it.
It has been.
That's because there's never been anything like
no.
it.
Oh, by the way, today
I call
the
it the trifecta.
It's more than that, really.
Fire your coach, sell the team, extend the gym.
Yeah.
Release Jason Hill.
Yeah, he
All
doesn't
right
really,
in the same.
He doesn't really fit. that whole thing. What doesn't fit here?
Oh, by the way, happy anniversary. The Jaguars were awarded 18 years ago today. So, I mean, it's just – I wasn't
Ironic.
Sure. I wasn't sure headed into the final month of the season if we could keep this show – on the rails, if we were having to talk about in round terms about you know what might happen, where this might go, if we were just watching the same thing, this just made sense.
Where do we?
It just made complete.
Where do you
sense.
Begin?
Do you start with the firing of Jack Del Rio?
Yes,
I think that's the thing that we all saw coming.
It was the trigger that we saw.
I mean, did anyone not see that coming?
No,
it was like a train coming down the tracks, and you're just waiting to get hit by.
Now,
it.
I will say this: that you know that I thought. That after the Cleveland clock management at the end of the game, you know, no matter,
right.
I mean, John differ obviously on how that could have been handled, but I mean, either way, it should have been handled better. I thought that was pretty much, you know, books closed, that's done deal, and I thought it might have happened last week, and it didn't. And then this week, you know, on Monday passed and nothing happened, and I was like, well, I guess it's going to, you know, be ridden out. And then all of a sudden, you know, Tuesday morning, you know, heading to get a workout in, you know, something that you're totally foreign with, Tony. All of a sudden, my phone just
That's
starts.
Random.
I worked out last night. Thank you very much. Hour on the elliptical.
Good for you.
I'm so fat.
Doesn't look it. Doing my phone.
I'm going to have to separate you. John, you're going to go sit over there.
Then the phone just blows up. I mean, it's amazing. First of all, you know, the changing of the coach, but then all of a sudden the rumor started to fly at 9 o'clock in the morning about the team. And I was like, you know, some people were asking me, and I'm like, I have no clue. I haven't heard anything. And then all of a sudden it's true.
The funny thing is I heard, actually, Brian and I met at 8 a.m. and found out about 8:05. That Jack had been fired. And then I had to go do a radio interview. Did that at 9. And I said, I'll come over here on my way. And I was supposed to go to Tallahassee because I had a meeting in Tallahassee.
And I walk into Dan's office, Ozone sitting in there. And I said, wow, what a day. And Ozone goes, is it Shahid, Shad? What does he go by? And I'm like, who's that?
Right.
And Dan goes, that's a name you better get used
right.
to. I go, what are you talking about? He hands me the bio. Welcome to your new owner. Right. I was like, oh, I almost fell down.
It was a left hook.
Yeah, it was. And then all of a sudden, in being here, because then and it was like, okay, you can't, I didn't need to answer my phone. My phone was going off the hook. I'm like, I don't want to answer it because I'm not going to – I've been asked not to say anything.
Right.
I'm not saying a word until the press conference, but somebody started talking because it was out there.
You can't hold these
impossible in this day and age to keep that sort of thing.
I'll say this, though.
What's amazing,
how about the fact that they kept it
that far?
For that long.
For that long is amazing.
Only two or three people in this building knew.
Right.
I mean, there were people saying, when did Fred Smith change his name? Yeah, because that was the
–
Everybody heard that, and that was the red herring, as it turns out.
When it gets – I was told when something like this gets to the finance committee and it starts getting out to groups of owners, well, then there's no way to keep it straight. And Peter King had it. I mean, he had it on a national basis before ESPN even did.
Right.
So there was just no way that you were going to be able to keep that one secret. But the fact that they did, there were three people in this building that knew. Wayne, Paul Vance, and Bill Prescott, and that's it. And that it is amazing they got that far.
It is. And it's amazing how that has almost just pushed the coaching change to the side. The coaching change was huge news, you know, and then all of a sudden that becomes almost an afterthought with the sale of the team.
Well, and rightfully so. I mean, I think that's the big picture that, you know, we're going to talk about a lot tonight because people have questions and it's going to take a while to answer those questions.
Sure.
And just to give people some perspective, I mean, this was not something that just popped up. This has been working for a long time. He made his first trip here to see this town, this team, this stadium for the Denver game opening day last year.
Yep.
The CBA slowed everything down because you had to have a proper valuation. Now you have a 10-year labor agreement.
Sure.
You can figure out what the franchise is worth, the cash flow, all of those different things. And it came together this last week. I was told that about a week ago, the owner sent the dictate, go get this done. And it did.
Amazing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it
good
really
dictate because it happened.
well, you know, when he says get it done, you know.
Well, I think the pressing question on everybody's mind is, now what? You know, I mean, that's really it. Now what? And now what specifically means the future of this franchise. You know, what kind of owner will Shad Khan be? Is his plan to keep it here in Jacksonville? Is it to move it elsewhere? You know, what will he do? And to tell, you know, people or give people some answer. I mean –
yeah, but the thing is, Jeff, we will only hear through Wayne until after the
close on 14th. January 4th.
No, until the 14th. Once it's approved by the owners.
Oh, okay, then he can speak.
Then he can come talk to
the media.
Media okay. And the franchise. But until then.
You don't know.
We're not going to hear from him.
We're now, not going to hear from him, but.
What we can know is what Wayne Weaver said.
And what he said in his own
his
release.
Statement as well.
That's
and
right.
And his statement as well. But I'll even take it. I mean, maybe I'm naive. And some of the national media would say that we are here in Jacksonville.
That you mean the guys at Pro Football Talk?
You've been having quite a Twitter week.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I enjoy it. Especially when you can shut them up and they have nothing to say. But I take Wayne at his word. I don't think Wayne Weaver sells his team if there was any threat of Shad Khan moving it anytime in the near future. Obviously. Every small market, if you don't perform over the long haul and don't support your team, they're going to start looking other places. That's just life. I mean, that's not Jacksonville. That's life.
That's if you own the team, if I own the team.
Anybody. But he has said he wants to make – and I actually heard it from a third party outside of this building that had a relationship around about the same exact thing separately, that his plan is to build this franchise in the city of Jacksonville.
I went and grabbed several of the partners, who, like you guys, have known for years. And by the way, these are men. You know, the Tom Pett was the Lori DeBose. Yeah, exactly. Who have families and businesses here, who have everything to gain by selling the team, but also everything to gain by the team staying in Jacksonville.
Yeah, they have a vested interest.
Exactly. And all I said to them was, is it real? I mean, is the commitment real? And they said, yes. And without a doubt, they didn't even hesitate. These are men I trust. And the response was, yes, it's real. And you all should be excited about this gentleman who's coming to buy the team. Now, Again, that's their opinion. We don't know.
And we won't really know until he comes. I mean, everything I've heard, again, from Mr. Weaver, from the other partners, from third parties that know him through Champaign, Illinois, is that he's a great guy, that he's a football fanatic, that he loves the game, that it's, you know, he's a, you know, his story is a self-made man, a great American story, what a great individual, hard work, perseverance, all those things we love, and that he loves football. Right. That's his passion.
Right.
And so a guy with a lot of money who is passionate about football,
that's a good thing.
That's a good combination.
Well, Jeff and I talked earlier today, and I've gotten the same vibe you have, Tony, from talking to people. It sounds, everything you hear, like he's like any of us would be if we were worth $3 billion. You know, we'd be fired up and we'd go buy a team.
Oh, gosh. If I had $3 billion, I'd own this one right now.
Well, but that people are concerned because they don't know this guy.
Are you kidding me?
And you don't have any sort of a background on him.
I'm jealous.
But that's sort of what you know, because you hear, you know, this guy's from Illinois. You don't know what he's about. But that's the vibe you get, is that he's one of the guys in that sense.
Well, and everybody said that he is an absolute dye-in-the-wool great guy.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And so, that's great news for Jacksonville. And, you know, Wayne had made reference that he's planning on coming here and buying a house.
But he's going to commute. This is not going to be his primary residence.
No, he's got a business up there in Illinois.
A pretty big one.
About
10,000 people he's got to employ.
That's
About 12. About 12,000 across the world.
You do your research on that, and Johnny Dineen has, and he was sharing some of it with. They are doing exceedingly well. They are growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I just want to throw this in, because you saw some of this stuff on Pro Football Talk today. And John Gordon, right? You know him, I know him, the author. He has a great saying. You can either feed the positive dog or you can feed the negative dog. And right now, there's a tendency. Everyone wants to feed the negative dog on this one. Based on what I've seen and what I've heard, I don't know why you'd feed that.
That's
dog.
Because the national media, it's an easy story. Let's not state the facts that Jacksonville actually has the strongest fan base in the state of Florida. Let's not state the fact that if you're going to start judging teams based on blackouts, there's a long list of teams that go ahead of Jacksonville.
We're going to invite you this evening to call the show, share your thoughts, and just see where this conversation goes. But we're feeding the positive dog in here, because based on what we've seen and heard, there is a lot of promise for this. Obviously, we don't know firsthand, but that will eventually come in time. All right, we're due for a break here, and we'll take it now. This is Jaguars This Week, presented every Wednesday night by Aetna. Only on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio. Did I just say that? I was looking up here and I just.
You wish.
I guess we had to bring that in at some point. You know, last night when I did the Mel Tucker show, I was worried I was going to say the Jack Del Rio show. There's two shows that I host in here. It was the Jack Del Rio show and Jaguars This Week, and I just. Ding, 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 ding.
You just wish.
It has been a strange week. I worried I, when Mel was sitting here last night, I was going to say that. And I didn't. And we taped Mel's television show this afternoon, the Jaguars Coaches Show, and he did a good job. And you want to talk about a guy whose head is spinning?
Well, I was going to say, too, I don't know how much the fans know about Mel, and I've just met Mel in the last 6 months. But you talk about an easy guy to root for.
Yeah.
And, who knows what the end game is on this. I hope he gets a shot. I know he's prepared and he'll do well, but a very likable guy who it's really okay to root for this guy.
I have not. He's been here for a few years. I've got to know him a little bit. Haven't sat with him. I was with him for an hour last night. Was with him for a half an hour today, extended. Kind of just got a sense of how he is and how he operates. And he used two words, and one of them made complete sense, and one of them you don't hear in an NFL locker room all that much. But he last night said there were two words he left his team with. The first was love. And he stopped for a second and went, really? He said, yeah, love for your teammates, love for your opportunity, love for the franchise, love for the community, love. And the second word that he used was, of course, and this is definitely something, discipline. Have the discipline to be focused in every meeting, have the discipline to be ready in every meeting, have the focus and discipline to be ready for every rep on the practice field.
Yeah, Mel, from what I've known of Mel, immediately when I got here in the spring, Mel was one of the first people I talked to and, I got to know a little bit, just because it happened to be somebody I talked to when I was at the Combine. And you're just struck from being around him by he really – and all coaches want to be great, but he has thought about this for a long time and wants to be successful at this, and not only wants to do it, has gone through the process of doing the work to enable himself to be. So I hope he does well for more – you know, obviously he hope the team does well, but – as I said, this is a guy that I know you guys also know, very easy to root for.
And let's state the obvious. He took over a defense that was 30th last year?
28th.
Top four, or top five in the NFL, four right now. And now they added some personnel.
Yeah.
But they're different.
Yeah, but
they
still, you added personnel in a very tight window.
Yeah, and they play different. They play with a different attitude. And he has – that's his. No one – I mean, that's his baby. And
he was finally given the opportunity
for the first time. That's the other thing
to run it free and clear.
Exactly right.
Well, and he did something that, you know, well, we all talked about in the offseason. He came in and said, "I'm going to simplify this." That's not really a very trendy thing to say. Usually, a defensive coordinator wants to say, "I'm going to blitz. I'm going to be the complex guy who gets the attention." That's what usually gets you a job. He came in and, you know, said, "This is the best way to do this. I've got new people coming into this. I believe in playing fast." He sort of had the guts to do something that's not very vogue and that's going to bring you a lot of attention, but he thought this was the best way to run the defense, and, you know, clearly it is.
I mean, the bottom line is, and Wayne said it in the press conference, that, you know, Mel's going to get a chance to coach, be the head coach the next 5 weeks, and he'll get a chance to interview for the job. It's going to be an exhaustive search, and how that's going to work with the new owner, Shad Khan, and how that the mechanics of that work, we'll wait and see. But whether he's the next head coach here, I promise you Mel Tucker will be a head coach in the NFL one day. I mean, he's just that – I mean, he's that
college,
type of guy.
Wherever he wants,
I mean, he's going
to
be head coach.
Wherever he wants to go, he's going to have the opportunity.
He's
going to
be head
point.
Coach. Whether – how successful he'll be, I mean, we'll wait and see.
Well, he learned from Barry Alvarez.
Pretty good.
Right? And then he coached with Nick Saban at Michigan State.
Yeah.
And
LSU. So-so coach.
And then he went to Tressel. Well, he had a stop there at Miami of Ohio, which – has been known to turn out pretty good coaches.
Yeah.
And then he went with Tressel at Ohio State before going with Romeo Crennel and the Cleveland Browns.
So, and I mean, then Jack.
The guy has been around. He's
that wasn't
been
mentioned yesterday.
He has been around football.
Just saying that's the part of the tree.
No, I know. I'm just saying it wasn't mentioned yesterday.
He's been around football for an awful long time. And so, yeah, you're right.
I just want to get fair due to all the coaches
right,
he worked
right.
for.
Right, okay. And I want to point this out, too. Remember, this is a year for Mel where he tore the quadricep tendon.
Oh.
And he is still
people don't even realize
they've
that.
Forgotten.
I mean, a defensive coordinator during the season had to undergo a surgery to reattach a quadricep tendon.
And didn't miss a beat.
Didn't miss a beat. What was basically on the road traveling with, you know, with crutches, and then
we went to Carolina.
Around the building was had
wheelchair basically.
Yeah, a little motorized cart to get back and forth to where he needed to go. And did anybody ever notice at any point in the season where the defense kind of went, nope.
I tweaked my
quiet, John.
The ozone came through. It's fine.
You know what I think of?
You're a battler. You battle.
You know what I think of when I'm thinking
no
of
quit.
Your injuries? Hand cramp.
Oh, yeah, hand cramp. Well,
hand cramp.
Hey, let's grab one call here.
I'll cramp up on you.
Just to let people know, a sign of trust that we will actually take your calls this evening, because clearly we are moving through this fast. We've got Mike, who's up in Chicago. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I guess Mel being a defensive head coach and – that's the strong point of the team. How much emphasis or how much improvement can we expect on the offensive side? That's obviously the really sore point.
No doubt.
That we're looking at now.
No,
I mean,
no
that's
doubt.
The point where we just need playmakers.
Well,
Jesus.
You're not going to be able to change the personnel, but you can at least change the way you do things, and you can change the points of emphasis offensively. And I think there's already been some changes. What's been released today that they have let one coach go and have reassigned Dirk Cutter to be not only the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, but then Mike Shepard moves from quarterbacks to wide receiver. So, and then you make some, you know, personnel moves, although you can't make anything drastic now. But I would expect that the changes that were made and announced today, that those will have an impact to some degree.
The thing that what you can affect as a head coach on the offensive side, which is not your specialty, and Mel has already started to do it with some of the changes, is you mentioned points of emphasis, and I agree with that, Jeff, but then the urgency and the accountability
absolutely
for which you play.
And the discipline.
Discipline. Same that's thing. Another, exactly
preparation,
right.
The discipline,
you,
and
you
the
add the move,
detail.
Firing the receiver coach, firing a guy who started a wide receiver, you send a message. I'm not putting up with this.
It means that what we have done is not good enough.
And we will
and
make
if you're
the
not
changes.
Good enough,
and you will
more
say,
changes
we'll
are
say goodbye.
Yep.
That right there will make people sit up straight and pay attention.
How much can they improve given the limitation on practices under the new CBA? I mean, can they really install or
how many pattern
really
practices have they had this year?
2 minutes.
Well, I mean, I believe that they can improve. Now, is it going to be, you know, an offense that goes from scoring 12.5 points a game to all of a sudden, you know, averaging 25 in the last 5 weeks?
I'd go to 14 right now.
You know, I don't know about that. But you want to see improvement. I mean, you have a franchise quarterback. He was drafted to be a franchise quarterback. But yet, if you look at the numbers, at every game that he started, what is it, 9 games now? Yeah. 9 games that he started, and you just look at it in sequential order at the time when it happened, you're not seeing the improvement. That's got to happen. You know, you can't have a young quarterback who clearly has talent, and I've said this many times before. Blaine Gabbert has physical tools that few have. He has talent. In my opinion, that needs to be developed, and it hasn't yet. And to me, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, and when we come back, let's talk about Blaine a little bit because I'm starting to hear outside of the building, even around the league, some interesting comments about it.
All right, news is next on News Talk Radio WOKV. Then more of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna and only on Jaguars Radio. Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. From Everbank Field, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Pacelli, John Osher, Brian Sexton, Joe Fortunato. Join us, folks, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. The other hot topic this week is the quarterback's pocket presence. And I asked Gene about that last night. And he said, he looked at me, he goes, "You too?" And I said, "Well, I mean, I'm asking because I want your response to it. It's out there." He goes, "How come no one asked me about him getting hit 13 times? How come no one asked me about the receivers not getting open or getting any separation?"
Well, and that's where I wanted to go, because you start hearing, obviously, in the community. I mean, if I get one more text message or tweet or question about Blaine being looking like he's scared in the pocket and skittish, just give me a dollar for each one and we'll be fine. But then you start talking
You'll
to people.
You'll buy a football team.
Yeah, exactly. Start, you know, I be doing a different game every week and you talk to people. And not that there's a groundswell, but you start having, you know, they start asking how's the young quarterback, and they see snippets, and, you know, and they look at the stats, the inaccuracy, and, you know, the footwork we've talked about. And you start asking the question, because Jeff brought it up, makes a good point. We've seen no progress.
From a number standpoint, no.
Or from a really looking more comfortable during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so people start worrying and getting nervous. Is Blaine the guy? I mean, is he who we thought he was? But I think we have to talk about it in a much bigger picture, that it's so difficult unless you look at the entire the scope of what he is being presented from the film and study that and look at the fact that I honestly, watching that game, and I didn't watch the whole game. I think I watched the first quarter and a half, and I was like, enough. There were guys, Houston must have had Velcro on their jerseys, because there was not an inch of separation between the defensive backs and our receivers.
No.
And I was like, are you telling them where you're running before you go, because they are running right next to you? I honestly, and this isn't a hyperbole, but the four of us might have had a better chance of at least pushing off and getting open.
How many bad?
Even you, Ozo.
Oh yeah, how many?
I couldn't have pushed off, and I'm cat quick.
That's a good. Well, that hamstring you pulled might have thrown you down.
Hey, you and the bad hip and all.
Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, but obviously, I'm greatly exaggerating. But Jeff, am I wrong?
And so no,
I
can it only. Wasn't pretty.
I can only imagine for a young quarterback who's already trying to process the amount of information coming at him, dropping back, and looking and saying,
well,
there's nobody out there to throw the ball to.
There were he was sacked 6 times in that ball game.
The offensive line struggled.
And so, you know, obviously I watched, you know, every snap and watched it at great length, because I wanted to find out why. And four of the six sacks I viewed as coverage sacks, he had no option.
Nowhere to go.
Period. End of story. Now, the only other option that he could have had was to throw the ball away. But he tried to keep the ball. There was a couple instances. Not only did he have coverage, but he had absolutely no chance of getting rid of the ball because right. of the immense pressure. That was the worst game probably yet this year by the offensive line.
Yeah, he played great.
You know, so
But it starts bringing concern.
That's a tough environment for any quarterback to have success.
But in. I guess the concern is, you know, and I'm playing both sides of it because I can see both sides, but the concern of from day one, what I saw in training camp, now you're not getting hit and everything, to what I see now, there's no improvement.
Well, the question becomes –
and that's the hard part.
Has anything improved around him enough to improve?
I agree. So. And it's not – and so – and that's the hard part because you look at Blaine – and the measurables, and I don't, and you hear people, well, he looks like he's afraid in the pocket. I'm like, come on, go look at the hits he takes, and he gets up and never flinches. Go look at the hit he took from Brian Cushing and almost
Houston.
Got killed.
And he came back and
played. And he came back in with bruised ribs. Right. I mean, the kid's a tough kid.
Yeah, right. You do not hear from even other players
that he's soft.
Any whispers
and trust
about
me,
soft.
No. If you're in the locker room.
Because you trust me, you would hear it.
If right. you're in the locker room, I've been in the locker room, Jeff has, and we've been around guys who are soft. And the word gets out quick, and it's you talk about it. And that's not Blaine. So I just want to – it's okay as fans to be frustrated and not seeing the growth because I think Blaine's probably – we all are. I mean, anyone who's a part of this organization. But you have to take it with a grain of salt that it's much bigger than just Blaine.
Well, and it's,
and
big,
don't
it's,
question
it's
this,
a bigger picture because it's
right.
the lack of improvement from the offensive passing
but
game
don't,
period.
Question the kid's toughness.
And clearly
I don't think it's a toughness issue. I think it's a confidence issue.
The changes made today, I don't know if in five games you're going to see mammoth improvement from it, but the changes made today are clearly that's what has to get better. You know, they want to see some coaching.
You got to get open, Ozone.
Well, they want
I mean,
to see some
goodness.
Coaching and some work on some fundamentals in those areas and some basic improvement.
Jeff, have you ever seen anyone covered like that?
No.
I mean, honestly, I thought they had Darryl Green – Deion Sanders and Lester Hayes playing the three corner positions with Ronnie Lott and Dennis Smith playing the safeties, and I'm like, you know, and Ed Reed is the you know the swing guy. I'm like, no one's. I mean, you can't even get open.
I didn't think the design was very good, and I didn't think the individual play was very good.
Oh,
so coaching and playing.
Absolutely. Maurice got more open than anybody. He plays running back.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's grab a couple of phone calls here. Let's grab, let's go with Ryan at the beach since we're talking about wide receivers. Ryan, you're up next on Jaguars This Week. Good evening.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Also the first time that I've actually got season tickets. And I got to say, even with the teams, you know, not doing as well as we hoped, still I feel like I am one of the people that should be able to criticize some of these issues because I'm actually going to the games and supporting the team.
There you go.
So yesterday I got pretty annoyed with everyone saying, you know, nobody wants to coach here, nobody wants to play here, and most of these people are people who live here who can't even shell out the money to go support the team, go see a game. The tickets are cheaper than most of the other teams. I mean, give me a break.
Well, then nobody I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well,
nobody coaching here is a misnomer.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, come on.
You see that floated around, you know, even among media too. And it's silly. You know, coaches don't make decisions based on a market size or based on – I mean,
hey, John, how many head coaching jobs are in the NFL?
I think it was 32 last I checked, and not that many of them are open.
Yeah.
I mean, finding a coach, especially with Gene Smith – I mean, Gene Smith's a respected guy.
How many seven-figure coaching jobs are out there?
Right. I mean, it's just not – I get a lot of questions about this, and it's just not a factor. And from somebody who sort of knows the league like we all do, it's kind of it's a weird question to even hear because it's so far out the realm of reality that it's not something you got to worry about.
Well,
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
It kind of along those lines, you know, Brian Billick, who is an analyst now, and I think it's for NFL Network or ESPN, one or the other.
NFL Network
comes out and makes a statement that I'm too old and
no,
and,
they want
too
young
expensive.
And cheap. They want young and cheap, and I'm neither.
Yeah, and I'm neither. I mean, what an ass
right. Who
to
said
say something like that.
I would say this, and I like Brian.
That's
I mean,
an asinine comment
but my
by
guess
an
is,
uninformed person.
Thrusting himself into a
terrible.
Conversation
and
as
my
a
guess
coaching
is,
candidate.
And all due respect to Brian, I like Brian.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be on the list.
No.
Well,
there's
but
no
maybe regardless,
I mean, I'm just,
regardless, right. he's
from
making,
what I know.
He's making a statement about a team
he has
that is getting
to
ready to go undergo a change of ownership, but yet he's trying to he say,
no
here's
idea.
What they want. He doesn't know what they want.
No.
I mean, it's self-serving.
Guys, haven't we learned?
It was self-aggrandizement. He stood up and said,
what is the media? What I mean, and listen, I'm a part of it. What do we do now? This is what we do. We take cheap shots. We pile on.
Well,
we take the easy road because, you know what? Working and having a creative thought and idea is so much harder than just saying what the next guy says in the retreaded story.
But here's what the Billick thing was, Jeff. I think the Billick thing was him thrusting himself into the name of coaches because there's going to be jobs open, Miami, San Diego. And what he's
getting
saying
his name
is,
out there.
Exactly. He's saying, I want to be there, and by the way, I'm better than Jacksonville. That was what he was saying. He was standing on the stage, standing on the Jaguars' back to lift himself up. And instead, he looked like a buffoon.
Which is too bad because I like Brian.
I don't. After he said that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't like what he said either.
You know, there have been some Baltimore people through here over the years, and none of them really had a lot of kind things to say about him.
Maybe that's why he's not there anymore. Won a Super Bowl, and somehow he got fired. Hello, Brian.
355 NFL 1.
Yeah, we interrupted Brian.
Oh, sorry.
I thought he did give the question.
Good job. Good job, Ozone.
Sorry, Ryan.
No problem. But, yeah, Tony, like you, ignorance pisses me off, and you know, I definitely had to fight some battles over there at work yesterday. But my question is, cutting the receiver who, to me, has been the most productive, I don't know why we extended Mike Thomas, because to me, Mike Thomas hasn't shown anything. He's 5'8", going against, and he should be a slot guy. Now, I know everyone's saying that we're going to try and go after Justin Blackmon in the draft and maybe get some receivers in free agency, but Mike Thomas being our primary receiver, I mean, how are you going to make Blaine look any better now when you just cut Jason Hill, who, to me, has done the most for him so far this year?
Didn't he have more drops than any other guy on the team?
More than Mercedes?
Okay, most among receivers.
The way you say that.
Yeah, he did.
Probably he's not as productive as you think he is, Ryan.
Yeah.
This was not why Jason got released, but I mean, it was obviously many, many things. But the play the other day with the interception, the long pass,
got to play
Blaine through.
He's got to play defensive back.
Jason actually went down and away from the play, and you know, to me, that was indicative of several plays that he's made, and I don't think that helped. But I don't think Jason was really helping Blaine as much as perhaps he.
And I just wonder, personality wise, you know. I don't know Jason Hill, you know. I don't know how he interacts with his teammates,
right.
How he interacts with his quarterback. But, I mean, that is a critical component for a young quarterback's development.
Well, let's just say this, too. And I don't want to go backwards too much and get into the Jack Del Rio, you know, tenure here. But it's a completely different culture with Mel Tucker as the head coach. I mean, just because different personality – what he expects, how he communicates, how he goes about his business. It's just different. I'm not here, and we can talk if we want to, which is better or not. It's different.
Well,
and because of that difference, you're going to see a different things.
Aren't we really talking about the culture of Gene Smith reaching even further?
Well, absolutely. Right.
But
that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah, but because Mel Tucker's the Gene Smith guy. I mean, that's who he is.
Exactly. But Mel Tucker, interim head coach, does not come in and make those moves.
No,
Gene Smith.
But I agree, but that's who Mel is.
Yeah, no, I know.
You talk about the guys who Mel worked for.
You can say it's Mel Tucker.
Yeah.
You can say it's Mel Tucker's culture, but I'm saying it really is Gene Smith.
Fair enough. You're right.
The biggest thing is you've got 7 receivers on the roster, 6 now that Jason's gone. You have 5 games left. You had had enough of a body of work to see what Jason Hill was. You knew he wasn't going to be back next year. All the rest of the guys are still on this roster.
Time to move on.
You can theoretically see being around if they show something the rest of the season. That was not true of Jason. So this is clearly a way to get the guys that they want to look at playing time.
And just a thought
on Mike. Sends a message, too.
Sure, absolutely.
And just a thought on Mike Thomas. He's not been hyper-productive this year. He's the most targeted receiver they have. He only has 37 catches, the 1 touchdown at the end of the half in Carolina. But a year ago, he had 66 catches, 800-plus yards, 4 touchdowns. He's not your number one, but to say that he hasn't done anything yet is hyperbole, to borrow your word.
He's having a bad year, though.
Yeah, but all receivers are.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but he got individually, he's not having a good year.
He has a lot of drops.
I'm not defending him this year.
I'm not going as far as Ryan.
Don't blow him out.
Oh, gosh, no. He's still on his team. But when you get a contract extension – the spotlight goes on you, the microscope is on you. You have to play
agreed
to a level, and he's not.
Agreed. We take a break. One more segment in this hour, and then another of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio. Or you can win a VIP game day experience to the Jaguars-Buccaneers game on December 11th. From our friends at Gate, you'll get four game day tickets, four VIP Sky Patio lounge passes, and a limo for four to and from the game. Stop by your nearby Gate gas station to register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. Jaguars This Week going until 8 o'clock this evening. About three more minutes here in this half hour. So let's grab a quick phone call. Dave's on the south side. Hello, Dave.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Do you have any up-to-the-minute ticket sales information?
Say that again?
What we were this afternoon left.
How many tickets are left?
Yes.
Plenty.
Yeah, I think it's really... If we go into this game, Monday Night Football, with a new owner coming to town for the first time to see this game, and we don't sell at that stadium, I think it sends a very bad signal to the new owner. And even if you've never purchased a ticket before in your whole life, I think everybody should feel obliged to do so now. This is a tenuous situation. We don't know if this team's going to stay here or not. Over time, in particular, we know that's the case, and we just got to go out there and show what the team's going to do. I was one of the people, I know you guys were too, that managed to fill up the old Gator Bowl back when, in the end of the day, when that ball was being hit, Bob Irsay showed up, and the helicopter landed on the 50-yard line. We filled up that stadium. Remember that, guys?
No, we weren't here.
But, yeah, do. We remember the stories, yes.
I was 11.
But anyway, I would submit to you that we're not in a dissimilar situation now. That team may pack up out of here in 12 months or less. We don't know. We just got to show up and put the city's best foot forward.
It's not going anywhere in 12 months.
No, but I understand what you're saying. If anything, it's more the I've been saying, let's fill the stadium, and I believe we will, but there needs to be some urgency to – this is the last national televised game that Wayne and Dolores will be the owners for. And let's send them out.
Last home game.
Last home game. National. No, it's the last national.
No, the Thursday
night. Oh, Thursday night. That's right. But last Thursday you're right, home game, though. But the last chance on national television, let's send them out, you know, and say thank you. And then also welcome the new owner in. And, you know,
I don't think he's going to be here.
Oh, has he now decided not to come?
Yeah,
I heard earlier that
I
he
was told
to
that
speak.
He is not
to the fans.
Be here.
I thought there was an opportunity he was going to speak to the fans.
I've heard that.
Yeah, we've been making plans for him.
Yeah, but I've heard that the canceled. Same as Jeff. That he might be here, but there's not going to be any big to-do.
We were told something different earlier today.
I think it's ever
changing.
I think it's ever changing.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we have reached the top of the hour, and we have time for news here on News Talk WOKV, and then another hour of Jaguars This Week, live from Everbank Field and presented by Aetna, only on Jaguars Radio. All right, hour number two now, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live from Everbank Field. Jeff Loggeman looking at the television. What do you see?
Watching the Mayor Alvin Brown and Wayne Weaver walk in.
A lot of interest.
To the stadium. There's a lot of things going on.
A lot of energy around the city all of a sudden. Tony Boselli is here. John Osher is here. You've got the number, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. So the coaching search has been largely set aside because of the ownership issue, but that will clearly become a major focus here on this show and shows like it all around Jacksonville over the next couple of weeks.
I mean,
what are you looking for?
I mean, to me, as far as a head coach,
yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of early to talk about that because, I mean, when you have a new owner taking over, you know, controlling interest 100% of a football team, wouldn't you think that he would want to have input?
Well, sure, what he wants to do, but I want to know what you want. What's important to you?
I mean, where do you start? I mean, there's so many things that you want in a head coach, you know.
Does it have to be offense?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, to me, the greatest asset that a head coach has is the ability to accumulate the best talent on his staff that he can accumulate, the best teachers, the best people that will teach this group how to play, somebody that can handle the clock, that can manage the game. I mean, those to me are the responsibilities of the head coach. Now, if he has expertise on one side of the ball or another, great.
Well, you know why I ask? Because the assumption is going to be that because the Jaguars are dead last in offense with a young quarterback, that you've got to go get a bright offensive mind to be your head coach.
I don't think you necessarily have to do that. Now, that may be the best way of attracting the bright offensive mind, but it's not necessarily the only way that you can do that. You've got to be able to find somebody who can attract the best. That, to me, is the most important thing, period. You know, Tom Coughlin was an offensive guy. You know, he had his hand in the offense. He had nothing to do with the defense whatsoever. You know, if you bring in a defensive guy, but then he brings in, you know, one of the brightest minds in football on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, to me,
Sean Payton, Greg Williams, a great example.
Yeah. But, I mean, you don't have to have a head coach who's got, you know, great experience on one side or the other. But whoever is the head coach had better make sure that they bring in somebody that's going to be able to tutor and teach and make Blaine Gabbert better.
And the biggest thing, it has to be somebody strong enough to establish the culture. And I think that started with some of the changes today. You know, what we talked about with Gene and, you know, Mel sort of reestablishing some things. But to me, that's the most important thing that has happened. That discipline and that certain things are not going to be accepted to be established.
Well, and another thing just to add to that, I don't think that Gene Smith and Jack Del Rio had a very good working relationship. I don't think it was terrible, but I don't think it was great. You've got to have a partnership.
Right. It has to go in the same way.
Got to have a partnership to where the vision is shared.
I'm going to take a little bit different. I think those things are important. I think attracting good coaches is important. I don't think it's the most important thing. The most important thing for this team to find a head coach, I don't care if he's an offensive coach, I don't care if he's a defense coach, I don't care if he's neither. He could be a special teams coordinator like John Harbaugh was. None of that matters, one way or the other. We have to find a coach that is a great leader. And a great leader can do these things. One is a motivator. Can get people to buy in to what he is doing and where this organization is going and get them to play at a high level. How he does it. Two, he has to be disciplined. He has to be self-disciplined, and he has to be disciplined, create an atmosphere where discipline is expected and it's a disciplined culture where people understand what they have to do, how it needs to be done, and finally, they're going to be held accountable for whether it's done or not. You need motivation, you need discipline, and you need someone who is accountable to himself and keeps this organization accountable.
So the head coach is a CEO.
And on top of all that, you need for this market, I believe, and I think in every market in the NFL today, so it's not just here, you need a great communicator. And preferably somebody who has some charisma with them that can handle the media, that can communicate the message to the community and get them excited. And again, that charisma helps them motivate the team and has the emotion to get people to buy in at every level. That is the most, that right there is more important to me than who he brings in. I agree. You have to have a good quarterback coach, good offense coordinator, good defensive coordinator. Those are all important. But if you don't have that, then you don't have a great coach.
There's so many traits. I mean, there's so many. I mean, and definitely the charisma's got to have some of that. I mean, he's going to have to deal with John every day.
But it doesn't have to be a big name.
No. No, 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 no.
And that's something that gets thrown out a lot is, I want a big name coach. I want somebody I've heard of.
Well, let me ask you guys this, and you guys can all respond to this. If you look at recent history, and let's just look at the best teams in the NFL right now. Who are the best teams?
Sean Payton and Mike McCarthy's teams. The Saints and the Packers.
Saints and Packers.
And no one knew them.
Hold on. Let's just start there. No one knew either of them. Let's look at the AFC.
They won last Steelers. Super Bowl.
Steelers. Mike Tomlin.
Bill Cowher.
Mike Tomlin, one-year coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings.
He was part of Tony Dungy's.
No one had him in even on the radar. He came out of nowhere, has become a great head coach.
But they had established a culture.
But he came in, and you talked to – I know people who've coached with him, and one thing they say about Mike Tomlin, he is a no-nonsense guy that is disciplined and is an accountable guy, and that's the culture in that locker room. And he doesn't put up with anything.
Bill Belichick, same way.
Bill Belichick, but I'm talking recent hires. John Harbaugh's another one. Did anyone ever hear of John Harbaugh?
You knew him because he was a good special teams
but
coach.
But did anyone have him on the list of the hot head coaches?
No.
I mean, the football community did,
no,
Jeff.
In the very last year before he got hired, he did. But
no, but I'm talking the fan base. No. I'm talking the we.
Did the Ravens have him on? The Ravens fans have him on their
list?
No.
Let me ask you a question.
Had a popular last name.
What was the response when Mike Smith got hired by Atlanta? They were the laughing stock of the NFL. What was it? What's the Marcellus Wiley? Came on and ripped him and made fun of Mike Smith that he was just a puppet to Jack. Laughable.
Right.
And is he not one of the best head coaches and doing one of the best jobs in the NFL right now?
Except for that call he had a couple weeks ago.
That was awful. Well, excuse Mike. But my point
Come on, Smitty.
My point is, Smitty had a lot of those characteristics.
You guys weren't here, no doubt.
He's a leader.
When Tom Coughlin got hired, I can remember sitting in my living room and saying what everybody else in town said. Who?
You remember everyone wanted Jimmy Johnson?
Everybody
or
wanted.
Who was the other one?
Jimmy Johnson. He was the big Holtz one. Yeah. Was a big. I mean, Spurrier. I mean, it was the whole, thing you always hear. But, you've got to have the guts to do the right thing, not the popular thing.
Well, tell me the last time a retreaded great coach, and so I'm not using retread as a bad thing, but a guy who sat out, a coward type of guy, Gruden type of guy.
Has had success?
That has had success.
Oh, Mike Shanahan's just tearing it up in Washington.
Okay, that will not qualify. Give me one guy. Tell me the last time that guy came back and played at the same level. Because what I think happened.
Well, Joe Gibbs is a great example. He didn't. Right. He could never replicate his success.
Dick Vermeil did.
Yeah, but he had a lot of lean years, about five lean years, and they were about ready to give up on him, and then he caught lightning in a bottle.
Mike Holmgren in Seattle? No, went to a Super Bowl.
Needs to be out a year, is that what you're saying?
The guy who sits out a year.
Because Tony did it.
Holmgren never sat out a year. Right. Dungy never sat. I'm talking a guy who sat out, got used to that comfortable lifestyle.
Oh, Jimmy Johnson just worked it in Miami.
My point is, it doesn't happen.
Right.
Rarely. Parcells did it with New England, but he didn't sit out a year. He didn't sit out a year when he went to the Jets either. He sat out and then went to
the Cowboys.
Dallas, and it was a better.
I firmly believe Brian Billick can do it.
But my point is, just those guys, and I'm not taking anything from Bill Cowher, John Gruden, or even Jeff Fisher, but right now today, Bill Cowher and John Gruden are getting paid seven figures to work about 20 hours a week for half the year.
Let me ask you this, though.
Are they ready to come back?
Let me ask you this.
And work 18 hours a day?
Not unless it is a ransom. I mean, you're talking $10 million a year, and I still pay that for a coach.
How about Jeff Fisher?
Jeff Fisher intrigues me.
Me too.
He intrigues me, but I want to be up front. He's an SC guy. I'm biased. I mean, I like. I'm a Jeff Fisher fan.
He would be a terrific. I mean,
PR wise, would be huge,
and just the ability to do what we're talking about.
Yep.
Establish things.
He's already called Jacksonville his home.
To run. Yeah.
He did.
And that's the thing. I mean,
you're just going to have to compete for him, though.
There would be a little bit of a backlash.
No, I don't think so. I think they'd love him. I think they'd love him. Yeah. But here, I think the biggest issue, does Jeff Fisher come to a place where Gene Smith has been named the GM for the next 3 years? Or does Jeff Fisher say, I want to be in charge of it all?
No, I don't think he's a big control guy.
Yeah, he worked with
really?
He worked with Floyd Reese pretty well.
I know, but at the end, I mean, he was pretty much – I mean, Reinsdorf was there. But I'm just saying.
Reinfeldt
was there. But is he going to be – I'm not saying he is, but he has the stature, and he will be offered at different places. You can have everything and final say of personnel.
Well, maybe Miami he gets that, but I don't think he's going to get it from A.J. Smith in San Diego.
Is A.J. going to be there?
I haven't heard anything
who knows?
Different. Yeah. Yeah,
well, and he wouldn't get in an Indy, so, which is another place where he's strongly rumored.
Yeah. So, just thoughts.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. The phones are next on Jaguars Radio. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is the official watch of the Jaguars. You can grab your Bueller Swiss at Jacobs Jewelers here in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. As promised, we go directly to the phone line.
Before you go to the phone, hold on.
I just
promised.
But he promised.
We'll go right there in a second. Where's my Bjorkqvist watch? I did the first dang show of the year, and I have not got my watch yet. Where's my watch, Logs?
What are you asking me
You're
for?
You're the one who invited me on that dang show. I want my watch.
I'll take care of you.
Because I hear this stupid, I shouldn't say stupid, it's stupid because I don't have it, but this promo that Brian reads, and it's a beautiful watch because I got one last year.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous watch, and every time I hear him say that.
Well, since you got one last year, you don't need another one.
Yes, I do.
Are you wearing the watch now?
I gave it away already.
That's a beautiful watch. I want that watch.
You're not wearing a watch.
Gave it to me.
Give it to me.
He's got a Christmas list. He needs a present.
Yes. It's a beautiful watch. I mean, seriously. You get that watch, you give that as a gift, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Man, you really like me.
Yes.
That's right.
355. Can I go to the phone now?
As long as you promise me, you'll get me the watch.
Elisa Abbott, if you're in the building, we need a watch. Donald is in Flagler County. Hello, Donald. How are you?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate
Happy to do it.
I'm a business owner down in Flagler County and pretty involved in the economic development activities that we try to work on, and we do everything we can to try to link with the Jacksonville market, and it just frustrates me to no end to listen to the national sports media talk about Jacksonville not being a viable NFL market. And it's just crazy how I hear the cliches that they want to just keep repeating on and on. And I thought about two things. One, the Super Bowl, we had a bad experience at the Super Bowl, I think, with weather and, some of the issues with hotels and things like that. And the national sports media still brings that up to this day. I heard it the other day, one of the guys talking about it. And then also the fact that we're a college town and that, Florida just supports high school sports and college sports. And nothing could be further from the truth. I'm an original season ticket holder back to 95. And, when I started, my sons were 8 and 10 years old. Well, now they're in their 20s. They're rabid fans. They purchase merchandise. They're starting to buy tickets. So, we're hitting critical mass now. We're to the second level with second generation with fans. And, I think the new owner sees that. And as long as we support this team, I think that's what's going to carry us forward. The football is going to take care of itself. But Jacksonville is a viable market. And it's just so frustrating to listen to, the talking heads the nonsensical stuff that goes on in the national media.
You got to remember, you got to take it all with a grain of salt. Not all of them, but a lot of them, cheap shots. It's easy. In the world we live today, in sound bites of Twitter and, blogging and less accountability on the media, because you can say things and get away with them, partly because the cycle is so quick.
Right.
And it's forgotten about, that people just say things. They just throw it out there and they jump on the bandwagon because it's easy. And no one's really going to check the facts. And so the best way to fight it, and that's what I do on Twitter, I love it, is you start throwing some facts out there and say that's wrong.
Well, and speaking to your point, Tony, I mean, I've done this for, longer than I care to admit, 25 years almost. It's harder to talk against the trend and to write stories that go against what everybody else is saying than it is to just jump on the horse and say, yeah, it's a bad market. It's harder when Pro Football Talk and ESPN are saying something, that becomes the accepted norm.
So just say it.
And everybody wants to just say it. And when you write something that's not accepting of that, then all of a sudden you've got to make all these arguments.
Well, you got to go do your homework. You
got
to have facts.
And people tend not to believe it. They get argumentative about it. And for a lot of guys, it's just not worth it to write the correct story.
So basically you're saying a lot of media guys are spineless and don't have a backbone to write what is true or do the homework to do the facts.
I would say it's more lazy than spineless.
Spineless sounds better.
Sure. and case in point, it's easier for you to say spineless.
Yeah, absolutely. But if I have facts to back it up.
Sure. But most of unless there's facts in it, unless it's written by somebody who you can tell really spent some time researching it, it's usually not worth it.
Well, let's address
here's the problem. Let me just say one more thing. And I like Peter King. But when a guy is credible, and this was my problem what happened yesterday, when a guy as credible as Peter King goes on a national show of PTI and starts ripping the Jaguar fan base of saying they don't support the team. They have they have 10,000 tickets left for the Monday night game. And, by the way, they tarp 33% of their stadium. That is not true. Right. But if Peter King says it, in the sports world, the average person takes that as gospel, and all of a sudden Jacksonville fans stink, and they must blackout every game, when the reality is the king of blackouts, this is my favorite.
So wait a minute. As commissioner of Team Teal, did you call Peter up?
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I got it right here. The conversation.
Did you tell him he was spineless and rip him?
I told him he is greatly exaggerated, and you're better than that, Peter, is what I said. And the great fact is here, do you realize that this terrible market that we live in, and my goodness, we got to have a team in L.A., don't we? Because it's California, that's the best market. Our team has more ticket sales than all three of the California markets right now. And, oh, by the way, the California market, Oakland, leads the NFL in the blackouts the last 3 or 4 years. And, oh, by the way, San Diego, that has been a team that has fought for the AFC West, had blackouts last year and this year. So, cool. But those are facts, and those are hard, and that doesn't go on the trend in the story that the media wants to
bring it closer to home. Here's what I heard all day today. How come nobody hits Tampa like they hit Jacksonville? Tampa is a big market, and boy, have they had some ugly attendance the last year and a half.
Well, Miami has too. I mean,
I did a game down there in Miami.
Miami's been that way since I was playing down there in 1989.
It is half full.
It's all perception. And, you know, to be fair to Peter King, I imagine when he called you and you guys talked.
What did he say?
He will at least come back. And he's shown wrong,
he
would try to make it right.
Last night he made some points that are fair enough. He said the reason Oakland and Tampa and those other markets I mentioned aren't the story is because their owner isn't selling. And so when you sell your team and the new ownership comes in and you have those, it becomes a story.
But it's been a
fine. But I said, what about
seats?
I said that, and he retweeted today and said, I was wrong. It's 13% of the stadium is covered, not 33%.
Did he also explain that this is a
stadium? He didn't go that far. And you gotta bite off what, you know, pieces you can.
He likes you, Logs. Maybe you should talk to him.
I would. Give me his number. I'll send him a text.
Don't go as far as tweeting.
No, I don't tweet.
Don't do that. But he thinks very highly of you too. So,
and I like Peter. Listen.
Oh, hey, look.
But there's
a responsibility when you have as much influence as Peter King does.
And he has a ton of influence. What frustrates me, I actually excuse some of the pro football talk because it's nonsensical at times. I mean, sometimes it's just blogs. Well, these guys don't do it. It's like, give me a break.
They throw some stuff out.
But when Peter King, who's respected, and it becomes almost like gospel if he says it, then I'm like, something has to be said to correct that because that is damaging.
He is the pro football journalist.
And I love his stuff. Right. He has great stuff.
Now, did you hear what Greenberg said in the morning? He's on there with Golic, and he's slamming the city. They're talking about the sale and everything. He says, well, yeah, and you know what a debacle the Super Bowl was. And Golic says, what do you mean? And he said, well, I had to take a boat to the game.
That's pretty cool.
Like, that's a bad thing as opposed to what, a cab?
The debacle was the ice storm in
They also said
Atlanta.
They didn't have enough hotel rooms. They had to bring in cruise ships.
So
that's ingenious.
Let me tell you what they complained
thinking
about.
Out of the box.
There wasn't enough nightlife and parties and, you know, clubs just call it what it is.
No, he didn't have a helicopter come pick him up on the roof and drag him to the 50-yard line. That's what his problem was.
Angst and anger. If you've got it, bring it. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Look, the solution is right here in the five-county area. Right. You win, you buy tickets. You win, you buy tickets. You win, you buy
tickets.
Fill
that stadium Monday night, right, Robert?
That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Tilka.
You can answer a ticket question.
Hey, Tilka.
No,
come here.
We got to go to a break.
Let's go to a break.
No, sure?
I'm in. What do you got?
How many tickets are left?
There's right about 7,000, maybe 7,200, something along those lines. We'll be below 7,000, hopefully first thing in the morning.
Did you have a good day today?
We had a good day today, better day than yesterday.
Okay,
better day than yesterday, and it should grow. I mean,
You've seen a surge that
we have
that
seen
you
a
would,
surge
that
people
you
are
would
excited.
Not have seen.
Yes,
before yesterday.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. So say 7 grand.
But we got to keep going.
We have a long way to go.
Yeah, and we need to have a great 4 days. We're going to get an extension, I imagine. We'll apply for that. We have to have a great 4 days. And here's the thing. We need to get on TV, but and so the next 4 days or 3 days are critical. But then after that, we need to be selling tickets all the way up to the day of the game. And every seat needs to be filled.
Well, because
there needs to be 67,000 people.
It's not just about it being on TV.
It's about the
viewers and the rest of the country to see.
There needs to be 67,000. Come on. Monday night football, people. Let's go.
When they look at the seats, they see them all full. It's not smoke and mirrors. Everybody's in a seat.
I don't care if we're 3-8 and we can't fight our way out of a wet paper bag on offense. Let's go. It's Monday night football.
It's honestly go time, it's Tony.
Whatever time. But, yeah, I mean, as a player, Jeff, back me up. Is there anything bigger than Monday night football besides the playoffs?
Better than Sunday night by far.
No, it's Monday night.
It's,
I mean, come on. Let's go. That's it.
The only game. All right, we've got news at the bottom of the hour. Thanks, Mr. Tilka.
Thank you.
News is next on News Talk Radio WOKV. Then another 30 minutes here on Jaguars Radio. All right, folks. You can text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. Does this elicit a response from you at all? I mean, you want,
what's that?
You want Sonny's here next week? Or,
yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, gosh, yes.
All right.
We'll have an eating contest next week.
Oh, really? I mean, do you want to try again? At the Anchor Bar, I buried you.
I know you did.
I made
Wait a minute. A couple weeks ago, you were trying to say that you didn't get carried away.
Yeah, I'm more honest now.
All right, so here we go. Sonny's,
buried you. I mean, made you look like
you did bury me.
You were like a little kid.
We've just placed,
I was your daddy.
We've just placed an order here for Sonny's for next Wednesday night for the eating contest. I think Joe Fortunato wants to get in on that one as well. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Eric is in Mandarin. Eric, go.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right, so first I want to give this Tony guy a hard time. He's talking about he does a show and he gets a watch. What do we get for having to listen to him gripe?
What do we get?
I like Eric right now.
Eric.
Nice job, Eric.
Eric, can I ask a question? What'd I do to you?
What's that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a low blow. What'd I do to you?
Oh, nothing.
Good one, Eric.
I just want to take a shot.
Exactly. I've been a fan since the team was around.
Is that Tony crying about the criticism?
No, that's me crying about not having a watch.
No, I've been a fan since day one. I actually did some work way back in the day with the Jaguars, and I love seeing Tony come out whenever Daniel Golf Charity's out there. I'm always out there. See you out there. You need to bring Jeff out next time.
Sounds good.
I want to touch on the last guy. He's talking about his kids. You know, my kids are now diehard Jaguars, and we're just now getting into that, you know, legacy like some of the older teams have, you know, the Lions and people like that that may not have had winning seasons in quite some time or just now starting to come back, but yet their stadiums are full. You know, they don't have as many fair weather fans, so we're just starting to get it. And
let me interrupt you, Eric, real quick, because Detroit – I had the great fortune of doing about 8 games over a 2-year period when they won 2 games or 3 games out of 32. And trust me, they had plenty of fair weather fans. That place was empty and blackout.
Yeah. I mean, but we don't have that hardcore legacy yet, but it's coming.
Yep.
And, you know, also, Tony, you said earlier, you know, you didn't see Blaine being measurable. I've seen him making strikes, but I'm sorry, when you hit a wide open receiver and he drops the ball and he had both hands on the ball, I really don't want to see that one count against Blaine, but unfortunately it does. It's a drop. And it just seems like it more of those have happened lately than, you know, playing out misses from him. And I wanted to get y'all's take on that.
Well, there's no doubt that, I mean, the guy's got to start catching the ball. I mean, if you consider that those drops were completions, I mean, it would certainly change his rating. I mean,
it was a nice drive they had going.
I mean, looking at his numbers from the game, and I'm pulling them up right now, he was 13 of 29, 136, and had the interception. All of a sudden, 16 of 29 with a touchdown interception. I mean, all of a sudden, that looks a lot different, you know. So,
what if Jason Hill plays defensive back like he should have?
And then there's no interception.
Better, right.
You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that. I mean,
I agree, but guys, let's not, I mean, and I'm a huge Blaine fan. I believe. I mean, I'm not jumping off any bandwagon. I'm driving the bus. But he's got to get better, too. I mean, you'd agree
no,
with that.
No, no doubt.
He's got to get better.
Everybody's got to get better. But I think there's a lot of people that are wanting to put so much on the
young
quarterback.
No, and that's not fair.
They're wanting to judge
it. And that's not right.
And that's not fair.
You know, I go back to Troy Aikman's rookie year, which I think it was 1990.
1-15.
And I remember when we faced Troy, and I remember we were licking our chops. I mean, this guy looked terrible. I mean, terrible. Incompetent. And I remember the first play of the game, we actually intentionally designed to jump off sides to send a ripple up his, you know what, because we thought that he was scared. We thought he was a scared quarterback. And we jumped off sides on the first snap. And then the second snap, he fumbled it. And we got the ball. And we killed him. I mean, we killed him. We're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback. Folks, I mean, come on.
Nine starts.
Back off. Let him grow.
It's too early to make judgments.
Let the team build around him offensively. Let them grow. It'll be okay.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Don is on the west side. Don, you're next. Good evening.
Okay, guys. Hey, I grew up as a Bears fan, you know, watching Willie Gallimore. But with some of the receivers, we need to go back to the old Biletnikoff days and stick them.
Stick them, yep.
If that was legal, that'd be nice. We could use it.
Yeah. I made a decision when I was 19, stationed in the Far East. I spent $5,000 on some stocks that I had totally forgotten about, and I just cashed them in. So I'm waiting for about two commas worth of money to hit my bank account within the next couple of days.
You getting a suite?
I'm going to. What was that?
You getting a suite?
Probably, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to issue a challenge. If I do get it, I will give you guys a call, and I will go to the stadium, and I will buy 500 tickets right off the bat and give them to the military and wounded warriors.
That's big.
No, that's real big.
I'll issue a challenge to other people with money that if I do that and it's on the radio, and I'm going to call Channel 4 as well,
CBS 47,
yeah,
you want to call.
I'll issue the challenge. You know, if I buy 500 tickets, you know, there ought to be other folks who can buy 500 tickets.
We'll stay on the line and Joe.
Came on TV.
We'll stay on the line and talk to Joe, and he'll get your information.
We'll get you on two stations, though, CBS and Fox instead.
Yeah, we'll knock it out of the park.
Sounds like he could have competed with Shad Khan for the team.
Couple commas.
He didn't say five commas. Yeah.
He did pretty well.
Don,
no, that's big. That's great.
No, that's great.
Great.
A joke, but that's terrific.
Hey,
that's
let's terrific. Go. And one last thing, I know. Do we have a call to go to?
No, we got a break to grab.
Yeah, right before a break. Going back to Blaine. It's okay for people to be frustrated with the passing game and the lack of progress this year. I don't think we're not saying that or to turn a blind eye that it's not where it needs to be. But it's not fair to lay that all on the lap of the rookie quarterback. You have to look at it as in its entirety and say, listen, the rookie quarterback has to get better. Got to improve footwork, pocket presence, awareness, whatever. And get a good coach in there to help him do that. And Dirk's going to spend the last 5 weeks with him. But it's more than just that, because you could have had the tape I watched, Aaron Rodgers back there, and he would have nowhere to throw the ball either.
355-NFL-1. On that note, we take our final break of the evening, come back, talk about games coming up in the National Football League this weekend, and maybe even a couple more calls. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, and it's presented by Aetna, only on Jaguars Radio. All right, here we go. About 10, 11 minutes left in the program, and plenty of time for calls, and the phones have been lit all night. We just haven't really had much time. 355-NFL-1. Regina is in Mandarin. Regina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to see if you guys had any comments about what Fred Taylor said about the former coach. I'll take my answer off the air. Okay?
Logs?
I read it. And Fred was as Fred usually can be, and he was given his opinion, and it was a very strong one.
You agree or disagree?
And well, I didn't play for Jack, so I don't know, you know, exactly, you know, how everything went down. But I can tell you that if you talk to Mike Peterson, he would probably tell you the same thing.
Brian, you probably dealt with Jack more because you did the radio show with him. I mean, where
did
you?
Well, I did his radio and his TV show. And, you know, here's what I'll tell you is that I expected when they lost, he was really good. And when they won, it was more of a challenge for me.
So does – and because you got – I didn't deal with Jack a bunch, and I never played for Jack. And so it was interesting to read Fred's comments. But
Fred played for him.
He played for him.
He played for him.
Did you see that inconsistency doing the radio show with them?
Well, I just told you that when they were really good, he didn't want any part of it. But when they were not good, he was great. So
yes.
The up and down to the up and down nature that he alluded to, yeah, I saw it. And people would say, man, the Jaguars got killed today. How are you going to – boy, it's going to be a tough show. And I would always say, no, it won't. He'll bring his A game.
And, Jeff, you have a list that kind of speaks to that.
Looking back at Jack's staff through the years, in 9 years, not quite, you know, complete 9 years, but me and Brian went back and counted up the number of coaches that he had. Our count came to counting the current staff, there were 48 coaches in 9 years.
48?
48 coaches in 9 years.
Wow. How many coaches did Tom have in 8 years? Can you think of that?
I don't know the number, but I know that there were seven coaches that went from 95 to 2002 with him.
The not counting this year's staff, there were 33. 10 moved on to take jobs on their own. 23
were fired.
Were let go or fired or contracts expired and not were
which is being
back.
Fired.
Yeah. In those 9 years, there were, I believe, three offensive coordinators, three special teams coordinators, and in effect, Mike Smith, Greg Williams, Jack Melz, really four defensive coordinators. You know, consistency is always key when you have a staff. And when you develop a reputation to where, you know, you burn through coaches, you know, it's difficult to make a strong staff because it's hard to assemble, you know, people that want to come because, you know,
well,
there's a reputation.
I'm sure, Jeff, you've done the same, and Brian and John, you guys go around the league, and myself doing different games. He has a reputation of burning through guys and not being loyal to assistant coaches.
You know, my opinion on him is that, you know, after that Cleveland game, you know, that was kind of it for me. You know, when
he threw Dirk under the bus for the third time of this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was tough.
And then
as a measure.
Mm-hmm.
9 seasons, 48 coaches. How much beyond the norm is that?
Well,
dramatic or
oh,
because, you know,
Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, John?
How many changes?
As I remember,
just to give people perspective.
I think one.
One change.
Okay.
How many years?
Tom had seven coaches with him for 8 years, and I can actually think of, now I look back, of the guys who got fired. Gary Moeller.
Yeah. After 2001, yeah.
He got fired. I'm trying to think who else got
most everyone else.
Retired or left.
That was it. Or got jobs elsewhere were advancements.
I think there was Larry Pascal. Yeah. Larry Pasquale left for another job as a coordinator.
Yeah, he went to the Jets.
But I think that was a mutual time to
Yeah,
change.
That was kind of a,
so this
right.
mutual,
yeah,
a mutual deal.
Right.
Yeah, it was time. I think both of them.
I count that as being let go, too.
But I think both of them were ready for a change.
Yeah.
And so let's say two over 8 years.
And that's probably an extreme the other way. But clearly, the number we talked with Jack is a lot.
Here's the thing. We're talking about 48.
Right.
How many would it have been if Wayne didn't kind of step in and say, whoa.
Enough.
You know, no more coaching changes, you know, because he did that a couple years ago. I mean, that 48 number, who knows what it could have been?
How many changes has Smitty had in Atlanta? Do you know that?
Well, I mean, he's got all the staff that Jack fired. Doing pretty good.
Hey,
Brian, you wanted to say something?
Hey, Logs.
Well, I mean,
hey, Logs.
He had Bill Musgrave.
Logs. Fred Taylor agrees with you.
Okay. Paul Boudreau, Ray Hamilton.
The defense coordinator was here too, wasn't he?
Brian left.
He left on his
own. He took the head coaching job at Georgia Tech.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, and there, some of the other ones are very good coaches, Anthony Lynn, Alfredo Roberts, you know. So, I mean, it is what it is.
And this may be stating the obvious, but I got a couple emails today. Do you think Fred had a grudge? Do you think he would, you know, everything I know about Fred, and you guys probably know him better than I do. I covered him for a couple of years. He's not the type to really have a grudge per se. He's the type that if he's asked, right,
how it is, how he believes.
He doesn't really know how to lie. He doesn't know how to lie or sugarcoat. He's as honest a guy as I've ever met. And if he's saying it, then I have no doubt he believes it, and it's a legitimate opinion of his.
Yeah. I mean, he played for him. And I didn't play for him. I don't know what he was like after a win or a loss.
No.
I mean, none of us in here. That's why you have the context of doing the radio with them or being around. But, you know, you only can know from the players. And it was interesting that in that quote, he also said he respects Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick, or he likes that type of head coach more, or he made some reference. I just thought
when he was here and he gave his kind of, you know, when he
farewell.
Resigned with the Jaguars, you know, he had mentioned Belichick and he mentioned Coughlin. You know, there was no mention of Jack Del Rio. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, hey, look, you know,
we're just telling the story.
I wish Jack nothing but
absolutely.
The best, his family nothing
absolutely.
But the best. But
you don't
time,
wish, we don't, you
time
know,
was up.
It was over.
Right.
I mean, let me ask you this.
And by the way,
and I did the Pat.
He knew it too.
He did. I did the Pat and Tim show on the NFL radio the other day.
Yeah.
And they said it perfectly. If you'd told Jack Del Rio 9 years ago, I'm going to give you 9 years and $35 million to have a chance to win a Super Bowl, and if you don't, you're going to be let go.
Oh, he would have taken it all day long.
Oh. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Every coach in America would take that job. I mean, we shouldn't feel sorry for Jack, and we shouldn't be overly, you know, trying to kill Jack. I mean, we wish him well, hope he has success in whatever he does next, but he was given a great opportunity. I think Jack would say so.
Sure.
And I mean, it is what it is.
Well, he did.
Yeah,
he did say so when he was contacted by local media.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Exactly.
If you don't perform, you get fired.
Right. 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. Looks like the final call of the evening, and it's for you, Tony.
Okay.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
What's happening?
Is this Jackson?
Yeah, guys, I stopped in there earlier.
I didn't know you could talk.
We're talking about a different topic.
You guys ignored him. He was doing all of his entertainment stuff about the Sea Best Seafood. And you paid no attention to him.
I got to be honest with you. I get tired of him.
That's just because I took him out behind the woodshed on the
That's
golf
because,
course.
It is. I'm very upset with Jackson right now. He beat me in golf, so.
I will.
My feelings will change by Monday night where I'll be cheering for him.
All right, so we're about out of time, and Jackson, go ahead. You
Sorry,
got the floor.
I apologize. Yes, go ahead.
Let me just wrap it up real quick, and I know Tony will agree with this. And I could go on and on about what the Weavers have meant to me. Jeff, you saw me with Mrs. Weaver. After the press conference, I haven't been to see here. And I can think of nothing better in all three games that we have the Weavers as our owner than to pay tribute to them and say thank you to them for what they've done for this city and this community, bringing football here, than just simply showing up and sitting in those seats. How great would it be for them to sit in their suite, look at these final three games, and see a packed house and send them off the way they deserve to be sent off? And that's all I want to say. And I know, you know, everybody's going to do their best to do it, but it's in the world to me, and I know they mean the world to you guys,
hey,
too.
Hey, Jackson, I agree
with you.
Well said. I agree with you 100%. And I think I agree, John, it was very well said, and we should support the Weavers. And are you going to have – I think Jackson's gone. Are you there, Jackson?
No, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
You got to have something special planned one of these last 3 weeks as the big final stunt to send the Weavers out.
You've never worked with fire, have you?
I've got some stuff planned, and I'm going to hope that I've been trying for years to get Wayne to come off the lights with me. But
I would like – I think you should douse your entire outfit in gasoline and light on fire, dive off the top of the scoreboard.
He already did that one.
With no rope.
You killed him on the golf course. Now he's killing you in the stadium. Good night, everybody.